So, the question before us today is what happens when we die? It's a tough question, isn't it? It's one of those core human questions. Well, maybe you heard about the little boy who was struggling with this question. He was at his grandfather's funeral, and he heard the pastor use the phrase, ashes to ashes and dust to dust. And the next morning, he came tearing down the stairs, just frantic. He's like, Mom, Mom. And his mom took him and said, Honey, honey, what's the matter? What's the matter? Come down. And the boy said, Mom, I was just looking under my bed, and there's somebody either coming or going under there. Oh. We have to laugh in questions like this. Well, a few years ago, a woman came into my office with a real question about this, and she was just hysterical too. And she said, tell me where my husband is. Where is my husband? And I'm like, lady, I don't know where your husband is. Where'd you see him last? And then I realized what she was really asking me, because her husband had just died. And she wanted to know, where is he right now? Is he way up there somewhere, or is his spirit in my room that I can talk to him? She just wanted, it's an honest question. It's an appropriate question for us today on All Saints Day, because you see, up here, we have this banner of people that you love that have died. I know about this banner because I've written names on this banner. And some of the names I wrote have died within the last few weeks. It's a very real question. Where are they right now? You know, I'm fascinated as we continue to do this lectionary, as the lectionary and the church calendar work together, because in our lectionary, we look at Luke chapter 20 in the gospel lesson, and Jesus is confronted with a question about the afterlife. Imagine that. It all works together. So as we look at this passage in Luke 20, 27 through 40, I want us to see three key truths about our question. The first truth is trap. You see, the question itself is a trap. Let's look at the story. In Luke 20, what's happening? Jesus is in Jerusalem. Now, if you've been tracking with us since the beginning of the summer going through Luke, you know that Luke took 10 chapters to get Jesus to Jerusalem. Well, guess what? He's here, finally. And we can say, it's about time. So he came in, the triumphal entry on the donkey, and everybody's like, Hosanna, Hosanna. And he goes and he trashes the temple. And as he's going in this section in Jerusalem, he is confronted by each of the different political and religious groups that want to trap him. The Pharisees and the scribes, they tried to trap him on the issue of taxes. Some things never change. Well, today we meet a new group that we haven't really seen in Luke. It's the Sadducees. Now, the Sadducees, simply put, they're the rich dudes. They're the aristocracy. They're the ones who own land, and they're really tied into the temple and how the temple and the pomp and circumstances of that. Now, Jesus has just trashed the temple and called the Sadducees a bunch of thieves. So they're not really too excited about Jesus. And another thing about the Sadducees is that the Sadducees were bitter rivals of the Pharisees. It's kind of like Republicans versus Democrats, or Lutherans and Baptists and Pentecostals, these different groups that like to fight over issues. Now, one issue that the Pharisees and the Sadducees fought over all the time was this issue of resurrection. The Pharisees believed in a resurrection of the dead and a judgment. And the Sadducees, they didn't believe in a resurrection from the dead. They believed that when you die, you're dead. It was very sad, you see. You get it? Sad, you see? Okay. So the Sadducees, they didn't believe in a resurrection from the dead. So when they come to Jesus and they ask him this question about the resurrection, they're not really asking a question. They already know what they believe. What they're doing is they're setting a trap. Now, isn't that how we often behave? You know why there are so many denominations in the church? It's because we like to set traps for each other. We like to take our little pet doctrines and sharpen them up until they're razor sharp, and then we set them out to snap trap those heretics and prove them wrong. Well, you know, Jesus didn't do that. Jesus didn't set traps. Jesus avoided traps. So one challenge for us today is, as we try to follow the pattern of Jesus, can we just agree to not do that to each other? To not set traps? But that if we disagree on theological issues, that we can just talk about it in love, and maybe we'll actually grow in the process. So the first thing about this question is that it's a trap. Now the second thing about this question is time. It's really a matter of time. Let's look at the question itself. The question that the Sadducees asked Jesus was about marriage, because there was a law that if a woman did not produce a child for her husband and the husband died, then that dead husband's brother had to marry the woman. Why? So that she could produce a child. You see, because in that culture, the only value of a woman was to produce a boy for her family, so that the family could live on forever. See, because the Sadducees believed that the only way to have eternal life was through your family line. So the way Jesus answers this question is brilliant, because he essentially says, you're asking the wrong question, because your perspective of time is completely off. Jesus talks about this age versus that age, and he talks about time. He says, in this age, you marry and give in marriage, but in that age, there is no marriage. Now, from our perspective, this could be confusing to us. It could sound to us like Jesus is saying, in this time before death, you marry and you're giving in marriage. But in that time after death, there is no marriage. Now, if you're in a bad marriage right now, you could think, sweet, death is my liberation. There is no marriage. I don't have to be married anymore. But if you're in a good marriage and you believe marriage is the center of civilization created by God, then this could be troubling, because what do you mean there's no marriage after death? What's he talking about? Well, I think what Jesus is talking about here doesn't have to do with before death and after death, because our idea of time is wrong. When Jesus talks about this age versus that age, I think what Jesus is talking about is a perspective of reality, the kingdom of God. When he says this age, he's saying the age of the Sadducees, the age of me, the age where women are property of men, the age where selfishness and greed destroys our relationships, the kingdom of man. And that age is the kingdom of God. In that age, women are not property. In that age, men and women are equal and come into loving relationships with each other. In that age, we have an open relationship with God and with each other without the fear of rejection, without the fear of failure, just like the angels have with God. And the challenge to us today that Jesus presents is, which age are we going to live in, this age or that age? Now, why do I think that's what Jesus is talking about? It's because of what he says next. He tells the Sadducees, he takes them right back to their original story of Moses. Because Moses, when he met God, God said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. My name is I Am. See, with God, there is no time. God is eternal. Now, I know this is abstract, so you got to put the thinking cap on. But if God is eternal, there is no yesterday, today, or tomorrow. Everything is now. The afterlife is right now. Woo! Crazy, right? Well, rather than crazy, why don't we say it's a mystery? God is a mystery. Anytime a finite being like me tries to wrap my mind around the infinite, I'm wrong. Because I can't know. Now, here's the thing. Have we dealt with our question yet? Are we any closer to knowing where are they? No, not really. This leads us to the third truth, trust. We have to trust in God. One thing we can trust in is that Jesus did teach of resurrection. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus himself rose from the dead. The Apostle Paul talks about a resurrection. So the question is, between death and the resurrection, where are people? Okay, so you remember the woman that came into my office, and she said, "Where is he right now?" I broke all the rules of pastoral care, and I gave her a theological response. I said, there's two theories of where your husband is right now. The first theory says that when we die, our spirit departs from our body, goes to be with God in paradise, and our body stays in the ground. And at the day of resurrection, they're united with each other and go into glory. Now, that's kind of a Greek idea. It's not really found in the Old Testament. The second theory is that the spirit and the body are intertwined. And at death, the spirit goes to sleep. And whether it's 8 hours or 3,000 years, it doesn't matter, because when we go to sleep, we have no consciousness of time. And at the resurrection, boop, we wake up. Now, which theory is it? Which one is right? Now, do you see how this question can become a trap? Churches have divided over this question for years because it is a trap, because Jesus would answer this question in the same way he answered the Sadducees. He would say, your idea of time is wrong. Because when the Apostle Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, from the perspective of the one who has died, it's instantaneous, because God is eternal. And it really boils down to a matter of trust. You see, Jesus didn't come to the earth to give us answers to questions that we can't possibly understand. Jesus came to teach us that we can trust God. We can trust that God loves us. We can trust that God has our best interest in mind. So when I come up to this banner today and I see these names, I don't have answers. What I have is hope and trust. Trust that God loves these people. Trust that God loves me, that God loves us. And that here on All Saints Day, trust that we are all part of the eternal body of Christ. And I have trust that we as a community are going to choose to not live in this age, but to live in that age now. Because we are children of the resurrection. Amen. Would you stand with me?